It says in verse 12, "And next unto him repaired Shallum, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters." His daughters were involved in the work of building this gate. And we're looking at women's role in the work of the ministry. What's women's roles to be? And last week, we spent a lot of time dealing with really what a wife's role to her husband should be. And even with daughters' roles to their parents, more so their father. And we looked at that. And we're going to continue with this. But now we're going to look at the special distinction that women portrayed in the New Testament. And again, women, your role is so vital to the work of the ministry that it couldn't be done without you. But God has designed you for a specific role. And the role He's designed you for is contrary to what the world teaches and to the world standard and to much of our thinking. I can look back to when I first got saved, and I grew up Roman Catholic, so I had, you know, some Bible, I guess you could kind of say, but we weren't really devout. We didn't really go to church at all, but I knew some of the stories of the Bible. You know, okay, here's how ignorant I was. I always mixed up what Christmas was for and what Easter was for. I didn't know which one was what. I just knew they had something to do with Christ. Okay, I mean, that's pretty much the extent of my Bible knowledge. You know, I'd mix up Jonah and Noah. You know, I didn't know. All right, so when I got saved, there was a lot of reprogramming that had to happen. I'd be reading the Bible, and I'd come across something, and I'd realize that my thinking on that was completely wrong and completely backwards to God's thinking. And it would just be like, great, there's another one. You know, it was like God was just showing me stuff all the time. And I had to throw out my old way of thinking and align myself with God's way of thinking. And that's what we need to do when it comes to anything in the Bible. But this is one of those ones that it is like pumped down our throat, and it is preached to ladies, even from pulpits. But it is preached to ladies all over media, in schools, everywhere you go. This message that you can do anything a man can do is given to you. And that's not true. It's not true. Why? Because God didn't design you to do what a man can do. The Bible describes you as the weaker vessel. A vessel like a ship. That's what a vessel is. You think a seafaring vessel, it carries things across the sea. There's a fishing vessel, and there's a aircraft carrier. One of those is going to be stronger than the other. But they're both vessels, aren't they? For the sea? God's designed us to be different. The woman is the weaker vessel. On purpose. On purpose. God designed it like that. He's made us different. So you cannot do anything a man can do. And there'd be some females up in arms over that. But it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Guess what? I cannot do some things that a woman can do. I can't do everything a woman can do. I cannot. The feminists don't get mad about that statement, but they will get mad about the statement, me saying a woman can't do everything a man can do. But that's just how it is. God's made us this way on purpose, the way that we are. I can't have a baby. I mean, I praise God for that one. Ouch. But I can't have a baby. I can't. Me and my wife were talking about just the difference. We watched our niece the other day. And we were just talking about the difference between how moms pack diaper bag versus how dads pack a diaper bag, it's completely different. I mean, my wife had everything for like 3 months worth of being away from the home in that diaper bag. I mean, maybe not 3 months, but she had everything in there. There was like 12 changes of clothes, 153 diapers. I mean, everything that you'd need, wipes to last like 4 years. I mean, everything you needed was in that diaper bag. It's like, oh, I forgot the diaper bag. Oh, great. I guess I'm going to have to stop at the store and buy stuff if we need it. I mean, that's how dads are. That's the difference between us. But it just got us to talking about the differences between men and women. And we got to thinking, I could not handle being at home all day with like toddlers and stuff. I couldn't handle it. I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here for just a bit. I gotta like be able to think and breathe. God didn't make us to be able to do that. Now I'm not saying a dad can't do it, but he didn't give us the same wiring that he gave ladies to be able to handle that type of thing. And I know I'm speaking in generalities. Okay, some ladies can't stand children. I get that. That's just foreign to me. I don't get that why, but I understand that it's out there. Okay, but women can do things I can't do. But ladies, accept the fact that men can do things you can't do. And that God has said that there's certain things in the context of church now that ladies are not to do. Ladies are forbidden to do. But God definitely wants to use you. God has a purpose for you to fulfill that we can't. You know, ladies can show compassion where men can't. Or maybe don't do it as well. Because he's given you that. He's given you that. So we're going to look at the distinction women portrayed in the New Testament. And then also, what can they do? Go with me to Mark chapter 15 and verse 46 if you would. I'm like losing my mind here. I did this the other day. Did we pray yet? Did I pray? No? All right, thank you. Let's pray when we get there. Mark chapter 15, verse 46. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. I need your help. I just ask you to fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and help me to get your truths across, that it be understandable, that it be clear. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us fulfill our roles, us as men, Lord, that we'd be loving husbands, that we would love our wives like you love the church, sacrificial, putting her first, not ourselves first. Help us to be that. Help us not be selfish. Lord, help our wives to be submissive to us, to love us, to honor us. I pray you'd raise up a group of ladies in this church that would honor you and place themselves in submission to you, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 15, verse 46. The Bible says, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And get this, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Look, the women were the last ones at the cross. We're going to see some neat things here about the distinctions that women were given. They were the last ones at the cross. The men left. The women were the last ones there. Okay? They were also the first at the tomb. They were the first ones at the tomb. Go to John chapter 20, verse 1. The first, John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Women were the first ones at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, first one there. First one to realize Christ has been resurrected. Out of all humanity, she's the first one to know it. God chose to use a lady for that distinction. A lady was the first to proclaim the resurrection. Go to Matthew 28:8. Obviously, because she was the first one at the tomb. Matthew 28:1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." Now jump down to verse 8. "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." What'd they do? They were the first ones to proclaim the resurrection as they went to tell his disciples. See, they were going to go tell them what happened. They were going to proclaim the resurrection. God chose to give ladies that distinction, not men. But ladies were the ones given that distinction. The first ones in all of humanity to proclaim the resurrection was given to ladies. You know, ladies at this time, their testimony wasn't accepted in a court of law, in the court. Their testimony was not accepted, but God still chose to give it to ladies. That's further proof of the resurrection, by the way. Ladies also participated in prayer meetings. Go to Acts 1:14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts 1:14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." What? They were a part of that prayer meeting. Ladies were involved in the prayer meeting of the church. Why? Because that's all the saints of God need to be involved in that. Any one of us has access to God, and we need all of us in unity. Women played a part, a vital part in that. Go to Acts 18:1. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. Women labored with Paul at Corinth. We already looked at this. Acts 18:1. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus lately, come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, Paul, because he was the same craft as they were, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." So Paul finds these two people, Aquila and Priscilla, and he joins with them. They are of the same craft, and they begin making tents together. Now look at verse 18. "And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow." So what were they doing? What was Paul doing there? They were ministering the word of the Lord. That's what Paul was doing while he was with them there in Athens. They went with him, this Aquila and Priscilla. They went to Cenchrea with him as he ministered the word of God, as he labored in the word of God. Women also labored in the gospel. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Philippians 4 verse 3. They labored with Paul at the work at Corinth is what they did. Aquila and Priscilla, that's where they were at. They were establishing the church there in Corinth. Women labored with him in the gospel. Philippians 4:3, the Bible says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." What? These women which labored with me in the gospel. They were there with him. They were there serving with him. They were helping him. They were laboring together. Women were being used of God. God wants to use women to His glory. He absolutely wants to use you to His glory. But there's been a perversion of what women's role is in churches. It's been absolutely perverted. Let me just say that as we go into this, all the cults, nearly all the cults, are founded or have something to do with women kicking it off. Every one of them. When you look at the charismatic movement, which is overrun with women in leadership within that, that whole thing was started by a woman speaking in tongues. That's where that whole thing got kicked off. I think it was 1903. Was it maybe 1913? But that's where it started, was with a woman. And it's not even biblical. God wants to use women to His glory. Women have given sacrificially to the work of the Lord. Look at Exodus 35:22 if you would. And I'm going to start flipping here pretty quick. Exodus 35:22. It says, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. What are they doing? They're trying to get the tabernacle going, the different pieces that they're going to need to build all this. And both men and women gave, and they sacrificed. They gave sacrificially to the work of the Lord. Verse 25 and 26, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. They gave sacrificially to the work of the Lord. And they were willing, not just giving of material items, but giving of themselves and their talents. See, giving to God means more than just pulling out of my pocket and putting money in the offering plate. Giving to God involves giving myself. If you give yourself to the Lord, then you'll willingly and gladly put money in the offering plate as it goes by. That won't even be a question. But you first have to give yourself. It's that surrender, and that's what these women were willing to do. We're going to see another lady that has probably given more than anybody in this room. Any one of us, all of us put together, she's given more. Let's go ahead and look at her. Luke chapter 21, verse 2. This woman so distinct, Jesus specifically mentioned her. And now for time immemorial, she's in the pages of Scripture. Luke 21, verse 1. It says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. So these are rich men. They've got a lot of money, and they're casting their gifts into the treasury. Verse 2, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Okay, this is where we get the statement from. Oh, here's my 2 cents worth. It's taken from right here. Here's all I've got to give. I'll give you what I've got. That's what it's saying. But this lady is seen as well with these rich men casting in their money. She's casting in thither two mites, it says. And he said, Jesus, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury, that means her lack, her deficiency, her poverty. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. She gave everything she had. Everything. That's more than I've ever given. I've never given everything I have. She gave it all. Jesus specifically pointed her out. She was willing to sacrifice. So a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. God has a heart for widows, by the way. We don't know what she was going through. We don't know. She didn't know where her next meal was coming from. Probably if she all she had was two mites and she threw it in. But she gave to God. See, that's somebody that's given themselves first. When you've done that, then you can easily sacrificially give to the Lord. That's what she did. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus 2. Here's where the rubber meets the road right here. God wants to use women to His glory. Let me ask, if we step outside of God's will, does that glorify Him? If we step outside of God's word to do something in honor of Him, does that glorify Him? Is He pleased with that? If we step outside of His word, even if it's in the name of serving Him and we're trying to do the best that we can, but it's outside of His word, does that please Him? No. No. God wants to use women to His glory within the bounds He's given them. How would you feel if someone else came and parented your children in front of you? Would you like that? They came and started telling your kids, oh, you're doing that wrong, and started disciplining them, maybe spanked them. Who would like that? Any parents? No. You'd be like, get out of here. That's like maybe starting a fight here. Get your hands off my kid. Right? Why? Because that person has stepped out of the authority that they have. They have no authority within your family. They have none. Zero. So when we step outside of the authority that God's given to us, that's not pleasing to the Lord, and we have zero authority outside of that. What the bounds that God's put on us. Women can be used to teach other women in the church, but they cannot teach men. They can be used to teach other women, but they cannot teach men. It's forbidden by God. You don't see it throughout the whole Bible. There's a few examples, a few instances that women preachers are going to bring up, or people that accept women preaching. Deborah's one of them. I've dealt with that before. But Deborah didn't want to. Deborah didn't even do it. She said, no, I'll go with you to the weak-kneed, coward man that wouldn't go do it. And he's still in the Hall of Faith, by the way, too. Barak, I don't know how you say it. It's in Judges. But God's chosen to use men. The prophets were men. All of the apostles were men. Think he couldn't have chosen a woman? He could have, but he didn't. He chose not to. He chose a man. He created the man first. So we're here in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is what it says. We're going to come back to this, but I want us first to look at some this idea that women are forbidden to teach men. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. We'll be back to Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, or 1 Timothy, if you want. My tongue gets twisted sometimes. 1 Timothy 2:11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman. Who knows what that word suffer means? Anybody, what's the definition of that word suffer? Allow. What were you going to say? Allow? It means allow, okay? So what's he saying right here? But I suffer not a woman, so I allow not a woman. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. God is clearly forbidding women to teach men. Some people argue, well, that's just in the church context. But it says, nor to usurp authority over the man. Let me ask you. I'm not trying to get people mad at me. I promise you I'm not. But we need to think, because our culture is telling us one thing, and God's word is saying something else. If a woman's not to usurp authority over the man, does that mean a woman shouldn't be a police officer? Is a police officer a position of authority? Should a woman be a police officer then? I don't think so. I don't think so. So then, should a woman be in the military? Because as she's in, she's going to gain rank. And if you understand how the military works, anybody with a higher rank than you has authority over you. So that leaves that out. I'm just telling us, Look, I started this off to say that I had to reprogram my thinking in a lot of areas when I first got saved. Okay, this may be one of those areas you have to do that in. This is what I'm preaching right here is counterculture. It's against what the culture says. The Bible still says narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to life everlasting. It's a narrow road that God wants us to be on. It's not going to be popular. People aren't going to like it. It's never really been popular to be Christian, to stand on the Word of God, because people don't like absolutes. They don't like authority over them at all. People don't like that. I want it my way. So when you say, when you stand on the Bible and you say, hey, this is the Word of God, this is truth, they'll say, so yours is truth, but mine isn't? That's exactly what we're saying. And people don't like that. People don't like that, but that's the truth of what God's Word says, is that a woman's not to usurp authority over the man. She's to have no authority over a man. Ever. Ever. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. God has a reason for it. See, we're either going to bow our knee to God's designed for us, or we're going to reject it. And when you reject it, let me just tell you, if you're going to buck this, the role that God has for you, and this goes for men too, by the way, who are too weak, need to stand up and lead their homes. Okay? Because then you're bucking the role that God has for you. And there's a whole lot of that going on today. And I'm telling you, I get it. I know why so many women have stepped up into a role that they shouldn't be in. It's because men won't do what they're supposed to do. They want to take the back seat. They want to play video games all day. They want to be just a grown-up kid is what they want. I mean, grown men, the average age, I heard, somebody told me, I could be wrong on this, somebody told me the average age of the person playing Pokemon Go was 28 years old. Besides the fact that it's a satanic-inspired game, which it is, it's based in witchcraft. Okay, go find God's approval on that one. Besides that, the ridiculousness of grown men going and playing such foolishness like that amazes me. Amazes me. But that's why so many women have stepped up, and so I have to do something. And I get it. A single mom, look, you have to do both roles. You're just going to have to. You're in a position, maybe your husband's not saved, you're going to have to. Okay, there's extenuating circumstances. I get that. But it still doesn't mean a woman's to take authority over a man. It still doesn't mean that. And our society's taught us something completely different. They're telling us something different. So if you're going to buck this, there's no telling where it's going to stop. If you're going to rebel against what God says to do and His role for you, where's it going to stop? It won't stop. It'll end up with people so confused they don't know what bathroom to go to. I'm telling you, that's where it ends up. The little sin that you start right now, you think it's, I'm not going to end up over there. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. When we started allowing the blending of the genders, the mixing of the genders, allowing that, the result has been now transgenderism. That people are so confused, they're changing their sex. They're getting hormone treatments so that they could be either a man or a woman. They're having surgeries to change them. That's where rebelling against the roles that God has designed for us over here, where God's perfect will is right here, and we just say, I don't like that. I'm going to be here. But I'm still close to that, so it's okay. But that's not what God wants. That's not what God said. So this little rebellion right here ends up way over here in transgenderism, lesbianism, gay lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, sodomite lifestyle. This is where it ends up. Mass confusion. Rebellion to God. Out and out rebellion to God. Mocking, blaspheming God. That's where it ends up. So if we're not willing to submit ourselves to the Lord, You just be careful. Because I'm telling you, you don't know where that's going to lead you. It will take you far from God. Farther than you ever plan on going. When I was 15 and 16 years old, I made the worst decisions of my life. The absolute worst decisions of my life at age 15 and 16. I did the most foolish things, things that could have gotten me killed. When I started doing drugs, I never intended to do some of the drugs that I did, and I'm not going to mention what I did and how far I got. But I started where most people start, with weed. And I ended up much farther than that. And thank God I met my wife when I did, because she pulled me out of all that stuff. She got me away from those friends that were influencing me towards that. But I did things I never thought I'd do when I was right here. I said, oh, I won't do that. But everyone's trying it. They seem all right. Maybe I will try it. Can't be that bad. Then the next one, it just kept getting worse and worse. To the point was, if they put it in front of me, I'd try it. But I, over here, I said, I won't do that. But I ended up doing it. There's no telling how far it'll take you when you start in just a little bit of rebellion. You might think it's crazy to say that this blending of the genders ended up in transgenderism. What else could it have ended up in? What else, when we don't want to fulfill the roles that God's given to us, when we fight those? So women are forbidden to teach men. There may be some women who are more naturally gifted at teaching than some men. Say, well, she's a better teacher. Shouldn't she teach? No. No. Why? Because God forbid it. God forbid it. It's disobedience to God's word. That's like saying, I got two thieves, but this guy's a better thief. Let him steal. Isn't that against God's word? Right? So, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong for a woman to teach men. In any circumstance. I don't care where. So, but there's no men to do it. So only this lady, she knows the Bible. She should do it. Should she? God says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man. God forbids it. God says no. So do we know better than God, or is God right? So we have to ask ourselves. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. A lady's biggest asset is her example. Verse 3 says, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Their behavior. God talks about their behavior, the way they live, their manner of life, their testimony. Your testimony is your biggest asset. Your testimony is your biggest tool to teach other people. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Ladies, you should carry yourself in such a way that you exemplify holiness. Holiness is separated unto God. You should live and carry yourself in such a way, and young girls too, even at school, where it might not be popular, you need to carry yourself in such a way that you exemplify holiness. That you will separate from people because they're doing wrong, even if you get mocked for it. My girls and my son have been mocked, even in a Christian school, for some of the stands that they take. It doesn't matter where you're at. You're going to face them. So what would this holiness look like? Exemplifying holiness, having your behaviors become with holiness. It would look like this: a group of ladies gossiping about another lady, and you stop them and lead the group to pray for her instead. In church, ladies get torn up, and groups of ladies will tear up other ladies in a church. So what does exemplifying holiness, being in behaviors becometh holiness, look like? It looks like the godly woman, the woman that's going to teach by her example, will stop them and say, hey, let's pray for her. Pray for her and then leave. That's what it looks like in reality. Ladies, you're to be a teacher of good things. So you're in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Teach good things. Teach what's right, not what's wrong, but teach good things. Model what's good, not what's bad, not what's evil, not what the world says is okay, but model godliness and holiness. That's what God wants you to do. He says, hey, the aged women likewise, they be in behaviors becometh holiness. This is what you need to do. You need to teach these things. Teachers of good things. And just specifically showing them, hey, this is the way. Look at my example now. Let me teach you some things. Let me show you some things. Let me show you how to do this. This is how women are to do it. They're to teach good things. And this fits the holy behavior. They go hand in hand with each other. Know your place of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. It's of great value to God, a meek and quiet spirit. Not a loudmouth, bossy woman. That's not godly. That's not behaviors becometh holiness. God says a meek and quiet spirit. Know your place of a meek and quiet spirit. So many ladies today want to act like a man, but this is unbecoming of a godly woman. Why do they want to act like a man? Because they've been told they're a man. They can do anything a man can do. Be just like a man. So they have to. I mean, how many of us know that, you know, that butch girl? That butch lady. I've worked with some of them. Dress and walk around, act like they're men. You know, they try and act like men. I mean, they will try and walk around like this. You know, make themselves like look bigger, walk around like this. And I'm like, you're still a woman, you're still the weaker vessel. It's not gonna work. And then it comes down to getting the work done, and they can't keep up. They can't do the same amount of work. We're equal. Woman can do anything a man can do. Answer me this then. Why? In the military, do they have two different sets of standards then if a woman can do anything a man can do? Why are there two different sets of standards? I don't even think the women have, I don't know, I haven't looked at it in a while, but the men have to do pull-ups. The women do like a hanging arm thing. I don't know, they don't have to do pull-ups. They just got to hold themselves there. I'm like, what? Kind of nonsense. If you're equal, if you can do what I can do, then do what I do. But you can't. Why? Because God didn't make you that way. God didn't design you for that. He designed you to be the beautiful creature. That's why we say, oh, where's your better half? You say that to men, not to women. You're the ugly one. The woman's the beautiful one. I mean, that's why God created you like that, to be that beautiful, soft creature. Not to be like a man. That's gross. But women are told they can be a man. So that's why they act like men. But it's unbecoming of a godly woman. You know, we could talk about this too. I don't know what it is, but it seems like women get to a certain age and they cut their hair like a man. I don't know what it is. They start to get older. And it's like they get this tapered haircut that looks like a man. God says you're to have a covering. God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Women are to have long hair. There's a few instances men are told to grow long hair, and that's if they take the Nazarite vow. And then it was for Jews, and it was a recognition. If they kept growing their hair out and growing it long, everyone knew that guy took a Nazarite vow. He wouldn't shave anything till the end of that vow. Some of them had a lifelong vow. Lifelong Nazarite vow. Samson's one of them. That's why his hair was so long. So if a man's going to have long hair today, he's just in rebellion to God. The man bun. What in the world is this world is so mixed up. That's the fruitiest looking thing. Like what? And thank you. Amen. That is just fruity. I can't stand. What man even wants that? What man even wants that? But there's a blending of genders. Women shave their hair, make it short. Ladies don't do that. That's not godly. That's not becoming of godliness. That's following satanic principles of blending genders together. Don't do that. That's not of God. If we said women can be used to teach other women in the church, they can teach women, and they can teach children, Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and women can also teach children. But they're not to usurp authority over the man. They're not to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. This is the role God has designed you for. You might not like everything I'm saying right now and agree with everything I'm saying right now. That's okay. It's okay. But here's what I'm asking you to do. Go to the Word of God, look at these verses yourself, and start asking God, God, show me if this is true. And if it is, Lord, then please give me a heart to follow you and to put myself in submission to you. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. That's not just for you ladies. I know specifically we're talking about women in the work of the ministry. That's for any of us. When God convicts us of something and we don't like it, we need to go to the Word of God and ask Him, okay, God, I don't like this. I don't agree with it. But if this is what your Word says, then help me follow it. Help me obey it. That just needs to be the attitude of our heart, that we'd be that Romans 12:2 or Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we need to do. Just be a living sacrifice. Be willing to die to self, to follow the Lord. So women can teach other women. Titus 2:4, they can teach children. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Get this right here. Verse 15, Paul's talking to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So he says, hey, Timothy, from a child, you've known the holy scriptures. Somebody taught you. Hey, continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Because from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Well, who was teaching him as a child? Go to chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He was being taught by his mother and his grandmother. Many people believe Timothy's father either abandoned him or he never got saved. Maybe he was there, but he didn't have any part in his upbringing. His mother was Jewish, his father was a Gentile, and likely he just abandoned them at one point. We don't know for certain, but his mother and his grandmother were the ones that raised him, and that from a child they were teaching him the Holy Scriptures. And that's exactly what Deuteronomy 6 tells us we're to do with our children. We're to teach them. We're to bring them up on the Bible and show them the Bible and have it before them all the time and make it a part of their life, an active part of their life, that we bring the Scriptures to light for them so they can see that they're truth. That's what we need to do. Ladies, that's your biggest job right there, is to teach your children the Word of God. Biggest job you have, the greatest job that you could have in all the world, is to teach your children the Word of God. There's not a better job in all the world than teaching your children the Word of God. And that's what God made you for. He made you to teach your children to be a keeper at home. Don't despise that, even if the world does. Love it and embrace it. Because that's what you were made for. As you teach ladies, going back to Titus chapter 2, your primary role in teaching ladies is to show them how to love their husbands and their children. So you're going to teach other ladies. This is the primary role you have in teaching them. Look at verse 4, Titus 2, 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober. What does that mean? Have a clear mind, to think things through, not just react. Look, because aged women, older women, have some maturity to them. Younger women and younger men, too, tend to make just foolish, rash decisions. They just react without thinking things through. So what is it saying? Teach the young women to be sober, to have a clear mind, to think about things before you just react and just respond. So you teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Don't let all your business be known all over the place. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is what, ladies, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to teach the other ladies. And this is what you need to model, by the way. Remember, going back to the beginning of it, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Model it for them and then teach them this. Here's what you need to do. So these young girls coming up in here, teach them. Model it for them. How they can be a godly wife. How they can love their husband, love their children. Teach them that. Model it for them, ladies. That responsibility is on your shoulders. I can't teach them that. I can tell them what the Word of God says, but I can't model how to be a godly wife. I can't do it because it's your job. Your husband can't do it. He can't. Only you can. That's a job only you can fulfill. No man can do it. Only you. The contrast to this type of woman, this godly, holy woman, is a woman described as a harlot or a busybody. Proverbs 7:11 says the woman that wears the attire of a harlot, verse 10 talks about that. Verse 11 says of this woman, it doesn't say she's a harlot, it says she has the attire of a harlot. It says she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's not at home. She's loud. She's stubborn. That's not meek and quiet. God says be meek and quiet. This woman's loud and stubborn. Man, I think of loud and stubborn. Immediately, Rosie O'Donnell comes to my mind. Loud and stubborn woman. Just, obnoxious woman. Just be quiet. Sit down. Is how I feel. Loud and stubborn. Don't be like that. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. 1 Timothy 5:13. Go ahead and turn there, actually, since we're so close. 1 Timothy 5. We'll pick up in verse 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So don't bring in a widow if she's young, is what he's saying. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. So they're not at their home, but they're wandering about. They're not idle, but they're tattlers also and busybodies. What does that mean? That's that woman that's a gossip. She's running around, running everybody's business. She's in everyone's business. That's what it's talking about. That's the contrast to the godly woman is the harlot woman, the woman like a harlot, and the woman that's a busybody. That's not what God wants for us. Well, not for me, for you ladies. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to model yourself after this godly woman of Titus chapter 2. the godly woman of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go ahead and look there, 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. See, your modesty is going to bring honor to God. The way you carry yourself. But which becometh women professing godliness. Women that are godly, they'll become this when they are adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. They need good works. Women are to be servants as an example to others. Go to Romans 16:1. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. So what's a woman's role in the ministry? Well, they're to teach other women. They're to model a godly life. They're to teach children. They're to be servants as an example to others. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. She's a servant of the church. She served people there. Being a servant today is despised. I mean, it's looked down on. Nobody wants to be a servant. I want a position of authority. I want to be telling people what to do. I want people serving me. But God says, hey, look, this woman was necessary. I commend unto you. This is a great commendation for this woman, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. She served us. She met our needs. She helped us. She was a servant. It's almost despised today to be seen as a servant. But in God's eyes, being a servant, still highly esteemed. Here's what Jesus said, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. A minister is a servant. By the way, a pastor, we call, oh, he's a minister. Servant. A servant. Okay, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. This lady, Phoebe, she literally waited and served the church at Cenchrea, just like Martha did the Lord when he would show up. She served him. Phoebe served the church at Cenchrea. She waited and served them. She might have prepared meals for people. Cleaned up things. Like many of you ladies around here, I've noticed. Just jump in there, start doing the dishes. Start vacuuming, start sweeping up, start picking up trash. A servant. She served. Stuff doesn't happen without that. Without people willing to just serve. And this is what this woman was. She was a servant and an example to others. Don't allow people to put you down because you serve your husband, because you serve your children, or because you serve people in church. You're doing what God wants you to do. You're doing what God wants you to do. Why would you let that be looked down upon? When these people are in rebellion to God, and you're serving God by doing what He has designed you to do. Don't let anybody put you down for that. Embrace the wonderful role that God gave you. Don't despise it. And don't allow the world's philosophy to taint your thinking toward what God designed you to be. I mean, reprogram yourself. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You maybe need to be renewed in your mind. So get the Word of God flowing through you and start thinking like God thinks. Don't despise what God has for you. Don't allow the world's philosophy to trip your thinking up. Again, if you're having questions about this, then take it to the Lord and say, God, if this is right, then show me. If this is what your word teaches, then show me it. Help me see it. He will. Will you submit to God's word and fulfill your role? God wants to use each of us, but not contrary to His word. Not contrary to His word. He's not designed women to be preachers. And that's okay. And that's okay. I'll just tell you, I could not personally sit under the preaching of a woman. Absolutely could not. I'd be like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I can't. That would be me personally. I know some men have. But God's not designed a woman to do that. She's not to usurp authority over a man. Ladies, God's given you a wonderful, powerful position. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. There's so much power in the position that you have, raising your children. You can raise up an army of soldiers for the Lord. Servants for the Lord. You're capable of either building your home through wisdom or plucking it down. It's up to you. I could say the same thing of this church as well. Ladies, what you do can either build this church or pluck it down. There have been a lot of women who've destroyed churches because behind the scenes they were pulling their husband's coat strings. A lot of churches have been ruined like that. You can teach ladies younger in the faith than you to follow godliness, or you can model rebellion for them. What does your example say to these younger girls in here? Will you follow your Lord's written will, or will you follow your own?